Hello. Discover the answer to life's most perplexing questions. Gain insight for your journey and discover how to use your pain to launch your purpose as you listen to Beauty for Ashes, a podcast with Adrian Mayfield.
Hey guys, so last time we talked about what happened to me when I went to church and was turned away because they did not have any more space, and how I learned from that experience that we'll always have an opportunity to be offended or to take the negative view of any situation that we're confronted with. But if we seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we can find a rainbow or a bright light even in the midst of what we consider to be darkness or something difficult. And so I had intended to talk about the five or six qualities that you should look for in a good church. And I ran out of time because I didn't want that podcast to be too long. So I promised you guys I would come back on this time and share those five qualities. So that's what I'm going to jump in today. So the first thing, which should be obvious, but is not as obvious as one would think that it should be or is that the first thing you look for in a church is that the church teaches the Bible as the ultimate authority of God. They teach the Bible as the ultimate authority of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." So that tells us that the scripture, it comes from God, it's God-breathed, and it has many uses, one of which is to teach, rebuke, correct, and train. So any question, any issue that can arise, there is an answer for it that exists in scripture. And so you think it would go without saying that any church or good church or church that is the church of Jesus Christ, the ecclesia, would teach the Bible as the ultimate authority. But it's becoming more and more common that people are deviating from the Bible as the ultimate authority in their belief systems. And they are looking more to culture to define what is and isn't appropriate. And we see that with the LGBT issue. We see it with fornication, promiscuity. We see it with adultery. We see it with integrity, with honor. We see it in all facets of society, where society and culture is saying one thing, which is exactly opposite of the Bible. But we have churches who embrace that because they either don't want to alienate people or they're trying to be really, really seeker sensitive, quote unquote. Or they're just trying to draw people and have people not leave the church. They're looking more for numbers. And so the first thing that you should be sure that the church that you're attending does is that they teach the Bible as the ultimate authority. Any question, any issue that arises, if the church does not land on what the Bible says with that question or issue, then that's not a church you want to attend. The second thing that a sound church, the Church of Jesus Christ, the bride that he's coming back for, should have is they should instruct in the whole counsel of God. That comes from Acts chapter 20, verse 27, which here it says, "I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." And so a lot of times what's happening now in church is people, you have these factions and these sectors of church that separate based on particular issues. We have the cessationists, which believe that the gifts ended with the apostles, and so that the gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't present in the earth now. And you have some people who are still going back and forth over whether you have to be baptized in Jesus' name or in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so there's a lot of these little issues that people are hanging their hats on, and they're going back and forth, and they're finding scripture, sometime Old Testament, sometime New Testament, and they're not always rightly dividing the word of truth, looking at the pretext of the scripture, the actual scripture, and the post-text, what was happening during the time period, what was said before and after the scripture. A lot of times people take that out of context, which brings me to the point that we really need, particularly in the church, a resurgence of the office of the teacher. The teacher is the one who brings the knowledge and instruction of the word, who brings the foundation of an understanding of the word, and who stamps out the ignorance in the body of the things of God. And so we really got to have a return to biblical teachers, sound teachers who can rightly divide the word of truth, who's come forward, who step forward now in this time and season, because there's a lot of things that people believe that just aren't biblical. And so you want to make sure that any church you attend instructs you on the whole counsel of God, that they talk about Genesis through Revelations, that they talk about Jesus came, why he came because of sin, what that means for us, the death, burial, and resurrection, and what will happen if we live a holy life in the end times. And so it's the whole counsel of God. It's not gifts or fruit, it's gifts and fruit, right? So it's not, it shouldn't be an emphasis on gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, while people are mistreating people and not displaying any of the fruit of the Spirit. It should be both. So those are something that you need. That's something that really now, particularly in this day and age, you have to be sure that your church is teaching the whole counsel of God, that they're teaching the entire Bible. They're not taking anything out of context. And they're not making, and they're not seeking to make you ashamed or embarrassed if you want more of God, if you want to experience more of God, if you want to chase after God and you have a hunger and passion for him. You want to be sure that the church that you attend is not quenching that fire, but that they are helping you to keep those embers burning and continue to create an even greater passion for the word of God and for God's presence. So the first thing is you want to make sure the Bible is taught as the ultimate authority, that every issue or question that the church is looking to the Bible to decide what's right or wrong. The second thing is that the church instructs on the whole counsel of God. They're not taking things out of context and they're not teaching things that aren't accurate scripturally. Number three is that the church has fivefold giftings and activation that are celebrated. And that's another issue that I see, particularly in the vast majority of churches, is there is an emphasis on the preacher or the pastoral part of the fivefold ministry. And because of that has happened, we have a lot of very immature Christians who don't read the Bible for themselves, who have no concept and ideal about what God wants for their life. From a futuristic standpoint, the foundation, a lot of times an organization is lacking. And because the pastoral gift is more of a nurturing gift, we have a lot of times very immature Christians who are not being challenged and pushed to develop into their full potential in God. And so that's something that's very, very important, is that you should make sure that all five of the gifts are celebrated and encouraged and utilized in the body. You should not just have the pastoral gift preaching every Sunday and preaching every Wednesday. You need to have all five of the gifts because they work in tandem. That comes from Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, which says, "And he himself," which is Jesus, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." I'm not going to go too much into detail about what each of those five gifts do, but basically the apostle is the foundation, the one who sets the foundation, who brings order and organization. The prophet is like the mouthpiece of God. They speak the mind of God both now and the future, and they express what God's heart and mind is in particular situations. The evangelist is the part of the fivefold that has a fire and passion for going out after lost souls, for preaching the gospel and the necessity for salvation and for receiving redemption through Jesus Christ. The teacher, of course, as I already covered, brings the information and knowledge and the stabilizing force for the church to explain exactly what the Bible means and to break down and explain scripture. And the pastoral is the shepherding gift. That's the gift that covers the people, counsels the people, can also teach or instruct, but but it's more of the shepherding gift. And so understanding those five and just a very brief description I get, you can understand why you would need all of those to be really balanced, right? And so you want to make sure that if you're attending a church that does not have all five of the fivefold gifts in operation, you should be asking, why is that? And so what are these people who have these giftings, what are they doing in the church? Because it's very important that people will not flourish if they're not being utilized in the area for which God created them. And we all have a specific purpose. Okay, so one is make sure that the church teaches the Bible as the ultimate authority. Two is make sure they instruct the whole counsel of God. Three is make sure that all five of the gifts for the equipping and building of the body are active and being used in the church. Four is make sure that the church has a process for receiving salvation, discipleship, church discipline, and restoration. Now, this is may take a few minutes for me to actually go through, but the salvation piece is important. And a lot of times, I'm not really in agreement. This is not a slight against any particular church, but I'm not really a fan of the everyone close their eyes and repeat the sinner's prayer, and then people point out, okay, I saw that one. Raise your hand. That's your first time you received Jesus and all that. I really am not a proponent of that as a way to bring people into the body of Christ, only because I believe that in order for people to begin a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, they have to have had some type of encounter with the Spirit of God. It says, the Bible says it's the Spirit of God who draws. And so my personal belief is that sometimes in church, someone will preach and then they'll say, you know, everyone close your eyes, and the entire church will start to repeat this, what's known as the sinner's prayer. Well, I usually don't do it, so I probably stick out like a sore thumb, but I'm wondering why people who say that they're already believers are praying this sinner's prayer every week. So I think that's something too that needs to be looked into, because I think that we are giving people a false impression of receiving salvation based on repeating that prayer and nothing having taken place in their hearts. And so that's something that I think the church really needs to revisit. I think that we've given people a false assurance of salvation and eternity with Jesus based on just repeating some words rather than there being actually some transformation or encounter with God. And I personally believe that that's very dangerous. So I think that a church who is sound will have a process for salvation where people whose hearts have been seared and whose consciences have been seared and who've been drawn by the Spirit of God have an opportunity to come and pray and receive Jesus and begin the process of sanctification through the Holy Spirit. So the second one is discipleship. That's what happens after people receive Jesus. This seems to be also a big gaping hole in some of the churches that I visited, is there seems to be no process for discipleship. So people come up and people get excited. They count the people. Oh, we have 75 people that came to make, you know, to, they repeated this prayer and they received Jesus Christ in their hearts. We don't really know, did they receive Jesus? Did they come to join the church? Are they rededicating their life? Like, what is this? What's the situation here? It's not always clear. And then beyond that, I know myself recently, there was a young lady who joined the church and expressed to me that, you know, she went to, after the church, she went and they had, you know, in a room and they kind of like a processing, more like a business or something versus a church. But there was this processing where people were giving these cards to fill out and there was no follow through beyond that. And she was a young girl who was about 13 years old. And so, you know, she had not really had anyone to teach her about the Bible or any of those things. And that didn't happen. And so the discipleship piece is very important. It's a missing component. And you want to be sure that any church that you attend or choose to go to has a discipleship piece, that people who accept Jesus Christ and come to a saving knowledge have an opportunity to be taught the Word of God, taught what it means to be a Christian, taught what it means to leave your former life and begin a new life in Jesus Christ, And so that's a very, very, very important thing. The third thing that's not very popular is church discipline. I have not seen this in place in the majority of churches that I've visited and gone to over the last few years. But church discipline is very important. The church is made up of people, and people are going to have issues. They're going to have problems. And you see that Paul, even his epistles to the churches in the New Testament, dealt with giving instruction to Timothy and Titus about how different conflicts and issues should be handled in the church. And so I see that that's another area that we really can improve on, is the area of church and church discipline. When there is an open public sin or an infraction or something that happens in the church, that there be a process where it's dealt with. But there also, to my fourth thing, is the restoration, that there be a process of discipline, but also a path forward into restoration. And so sometimes I think we do move too quickly into the restoration part before we do the discipline. But I do think that those are both very important components to having a healthy church culture and environment. So number one was, make sure the Bible teaches. The Bible is the ultimate authority of God. Number two, make sure that it instructs on the whole counsel of God. Number three, make sure that all five of the gifts are in operation in some capacity in the church. Number four was, make sure there is a process for people to receive salvation, discipleship, church discipline, and restoration. And the last one, number five, is make sure the church is under the control and the submission to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a huge one, because a lot of you probably attend churches where they don't even believe the Holy Spirit is doing anything in the earth now. And they certainly have not given themselves over to the leadership and control of the submission to the Holy Spirit. And so that's a problem. Jesus said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send another who will come. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so basically the Holy Spirit, one of his primary goals in being here is to help us be like Jesus, to lead us into truth, to give us the mind and show us the heart of the Father, and to help us look like Jesus. And so in our services, if the Holy Spirit is there and he's in control of the service, you're not going to have these nice, orderly 75-minute services that people have started to become more and more accustomed to. I was going to visit a church not too long ago. Someone had invited me to come, and I went online just to check the church out. And I saw on there that it said, you know, we have 75-minute services. And I thought, well, wow, I mean, you can guarantee that every week is going to be 75 minutes. So what if God wants to do something different? What if there's a move of God, or people are drawn to travail or weep at the altar, or there's salvation that goes forth, or healing or miracles, all of the things that the Holy Spirit brings? Are you open to that if you've promised and advertised that it's a strict 75-minute time frame? And again, this is not a knock on anybody, but it's just indicative of what we, as those who say we're believers, have become accustomed to. Everything is this cookie cutter, all about me. I just want to carve it in and get a check for being here, versus I'm coming to encounter the God of the universe, hear him speak to me and speak to the other believers here. And I'm coming to join in fellowship with them in encountering the presence of God, where something supernatural is going to encounter. We're going to encounter something supernatural. Something's going to happen here that's going to transform our lives. We're not going to leave the same way we came. And I just don't think, by and large, that's the emphasis, particularly if you're more focused on staying within a specific time frame than, you know, being controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I do believe God deals in order, and I'm not necessarily advocating either for having a 5-hour service just for the sake of having a 5-hour service. But I am saying that we need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need to be more sensitive to what he wants to do and say in a service. And there should be a degree of spontaneity to the service. God is an infinite God who never needs to necessarily repeat or do the same thing. So if your church, a church you're attending, it's the same thing every Sunday, same sermon every Sunday, same songs every Sunday, then you got to really wonder who's leading and directing the church. There should be a passion, a fire, a newness, a level of spontaneity a level even of surprise and intrigue as we encounter the presence of God in our services. So these are just some things I want you to think about. I've tried to give you scripture so that it's not like I'm just saying something myself based on what I think or believe. And I hope that you will go back and look at the scriptures, look at these different things, and kind of weigh and decide if where you're actually worshiping is a place that is helping you grow and creating a passion and fire for the things of God. So again, number one was make sure that the church teaches the Bible as the ultimate authority. Number two, make sure that it instructs on the whole counsel of God. Three, make sure that all of the fivefold gifts are in operation. Four, make sure there's a process for salvation, discipleship, church discipline, and restoration. And five is make sure that the church is under the control and submission to the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. So thanks so much for listening. I hope that this content will give you something kind of to weigh or balance. And I hope that you are not joining the trend of bedside Baptist online church all the time, which seems to be another issue. I'm not going to really go into that because we do need the fellowship of one another, the sharpening and strengthening that comes from being together and worshiping God and experiencing Him together with believers. So thanks again for listening, and let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are your bride. We are your church. We thank you that even now the Holy Spirit is partnering with us to make us ready, that we might be a bride presented to you without spot or wrinkle. Father, we pray for your wisdom. We pray for your clarity. We pray for your insight. We pray for the Spirit of counsel to even come and guide us and direct us as we seek to find our placement and where you would have us be. Sharpen our minds, sharpen our spirits, that we might hear clearly from you where we need to go as we move into even 2020 and this beginning of the next decade. May we not be at the end of this decade the same person that we are at the beginning. May we grow in wisdom and stature as Jesus did and in our understanding of you. God, strengthen us, give us wisdom, give us courage to do the things that we need to do. And we thank you for putting yourself inside of us and for leading and guiding us. We, your church, stand and arise. We take our rightful place. We will legislate. We will dominate. We will be all that you called us to be by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Beauty for Ashes podcast. Before you go, subscribe and leave a message with your pressing question or comment. Be sure to tell all your friends and tune in next week for another episode.